Blog Talk Radio. of the situation. I really think we're in danger of American institutions, democratic institutions, the institutions that secure something like a liberal democracy here being dismantled. So people place their trust, oh, our institutions will keep it in check. We modify the institutions. I think that's what he and his team are working on, and I'm afraid that's going to occur. So deeply pessimistic.
I just taught an American politics course here at the University of Auckland. And one of the things we talked about at the very beginning of the semester was federalism and how there were all these periods in the United States where the federal government would push a policy and some of the states would resist. And in some cases, slavery was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
They were northern states or cities in the states that refused to comply with the Fugitive Slave Act, as an example. I suspect we're going to have a version of that federal government versus state government coming into the future now.
I would not be surprised.
Well, David Livingston Smith, I thank you for joining us here on the Scholar Circle again. It's always a pleasure to host you.
It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you.
When we come back, what can be done about the rapid rate of species extinction? Stay tuned.
Like, but it's not very helpful. And the reason it's not very helpful because we don't really have a good idea of how many species there are. We have names for about 2 million species. Some people think there may be 10 million species, others maybe as many as 100 million species. So coming up with names or numbers like that really isn't particularly helpful.
Do we have a sense of where this is happening the most?
Yes, we have a very good sense. About 10% of the species that are at risk of extinction are immortalized by Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz when she says, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, look at the wild things out there. And of course, the answer may be no. We're losing lions and tigers and bears across a large portion of their range. But about 90% of species are exemplified by, for example, the lemurs in Madagascar. They occur in some very special areas, Central America, the Northern Andes, coast of Brazil, Madagascar, the Philippines, some very special places where there are an enormous number of species that have very small geographical ranges. And when you deforest a mountaintop and a species lives only there, then of course you wipe out that species. So there's probably 20, 30 places around the world which are the sort of the concentrations of where species are going extinct. Same is true in the oceans. Coral reefs are places where there's a lot of unique species and they're at very high risk.
You've written about this habitat destruction as a key driver, suggested that the clearing of the rainforest is really something like 85% of the species that are being wiped out as a result of this. Can you describe what's happening?
The places where species at risk are concentrated are mostly, almost all, tropical rainforests, like Central America, the Northern Andes, coast of Brazil, Madagascar, the places that I mentioned. These are places of exceptional biodiversity. You know, across most of eastern North America, we have one species of hummingbird. Colombia and Ecuador have 300. So there's a lot more species in those countries and a lot more species at risk. The tropics are just brimming with huge numbers of birds and mammals and butterflies and a whole variety of other species, and many of them are in danger when we deforest their homes.
David Wilkie, this is something that you've also looked at, and I think you had a 2012 article calling deforestation really the most imperiling factor of global biodiversity. How do you see the scope of the problem?
I think habitat loss is really important. I completely agree about that, but I think that people harvesting terrestrial.
This is Black Noise Radio, produced by DJ Monk for Blues and Tank. Sierra Deep mixes music and thoughts. Please fill loudly.
Thank you. If, by Rudyard Kipling. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating. And yet don't look too good, nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools, if you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose, and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except will that says to them, hold on. You can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose to come and touch. If neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men treat you, but none too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And, which is more, you'll be a man, my son.
Thank you for listening to Black Noise Radio.
Music in the night.